3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Illuminati Social Club. I'm your host, Jason from Parma. And this is my first episode in conjunction with, Alien CG's Bible Study Twitter account and blog. Today I have, as a guest, a good friend, former co-host on the In Search Of series, current co-host on In Your Ear Holes, Mr. Oliver Rockside.
I've just invaded your life. I'm sorry for that.
Oh, no. No need to be sorry. So we got to talking. This past Saturday, you were in town, went out to a, excellent dinner, you, me, and Stephanie.
Yeah, delicioso.
We went to a traditional old school Italian joint. Really good food. Just a lot of fun. But you drove, so you know we have plenty of time to talk on the way back to my house because Stephanie lives like a minute and a half from the restaurant. But you finally saw The Signs.
Yes.
And I asked, out of pure curiosity, I asked you, are there signs like this in Canada? You know, do people have yard signs as prevalent? Let me backtrack here. I have, in my neighborhood alone, I have at least three houses that have these, they're Christian, yard signs. They have, Bible verses or some pithy quote to say, relating to, follow Jesus or, hell is horrible, which, because what's funny is on the hell is horrible sign, it says no warning is too strong. I'm like, well, why don't you put a strong warning on that sign? Because saying hell is horrible, that's weak. So, yeah, I asked you, is it as prevalent in Canada as it is in the U.S.?
Well, I'd like to answer that by telling you a little anecdote.
Sure.
Which I was stunned. I remember the first time I entered Mississippi. and I guess within the first hour of driving from Alabama to Mississippi... once I hit the Mississippi border, I saw within half an hour about six billboards, not signs, billboards that were very, very anti-choice.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You would never see that in Canada. Now, I'm going a little bit because Canada does have a Bible Belt. A lot of people don't understand that, know this. But I'm going to be very... I'm going to be kind of generic in what I talk about here, because in southern Alberta, that is Canada's Bible Belt. But apart from that, you will see them from time to time, usually rural settings, but it's nowhere near the American experience with this. It is... I guess it's very Canadian to keep your particular religious thoughts either private or a little on the down low.
Right.
And that is not the American experience, because Americans have this belief, and it's very, very wrong-headed, but you have this belief that you are a Christian nation.
Right. We're not. No, this... the United States was founded, the First Amendment of the Constitution basically, well, doesn't basically say, it says, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of a religion, something along that line, but I can't remember the exact wording, but the Treaty of Tripoli, I believe it is, John Quincy Adams stated that, no mincing of words, the United States is absolutely not a Christian nation.
No.
Now, Canada is a Christian country. Great Britain is a Christian country.
Australia is a Christian country. Yes. New Zealand is a Christian country. Are you going to tell the audience why, or am I, Jason?
Yes, because they observe the monarchy of Great Britain. The Queen is appointed by God. Am I right?
Yes, the Queen, the present Queen of England, and when she assumes room temperature, Chuckles will take over, and he will assume to the throne not only of the monarchy, but of the Anglican Church,
mm-hmm.
Episcopalian to Americans.
Yes.
Now, because our head of state and Australia's head of state and New Zealand's head of state, I think Bermuda's head of state, I mean, anybody in the Commonwealth, their head of state is Queen Elizabeth, so mm-hmm. she is the head of the Anglican Church. So that is a religious doctrine that heads the country. Funnily enough, and this is what's always very strange to me, is that America has probably the most secular constitution in the world.
Mm-hmm.
For full disclosure, I'm an atheist. At best, it is secular. At worst, it is deist.
Yes.
God is mentioned in the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
Simply,
however, people...
Simply as creator or, you know...
Yes.
Yeah. It's the least religious of faiths you can hold. Basically, you believe that you have a creator. That's it. God said, boom, here's a universe, have at it. And he just, you know, walked away, created another universe somewhere.
Yeah, the difference between a deist and a theist... which is what we would call any kind of church, mosque, synagogue, kingdom hall, these goers. As someone who's a deist, they believe that there is a higher power, that there's a proximate cause,
mm-hmm.
but that does not get involved in human relations.
Right.
So people like Jefferson, people like Thomas Paine, were deists.
Mm-hmm.
The best kind of example I ever heard was imagine an indigenous person in Australia walking along the beach and they find a watch.
Right.
Now, after a while, they will figure out that that watch has certain symbols that correspond with the sun coming up and the sun coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care about who made it, and they'll never know who made it.
Right.
But they don't worship the watch. They don't worship the watch.
No.
You know, that's the best example that I can give. And this delusion that America is a Christian country, I mean, is just belied by the facts. The Pilgrims were Calvinists. They wanted to get away from England because a different sect of Christianity didn't intermix very well.
Right.
The famed Jefferson letter of stating the wall of separation between church and state was not in the Constitution. I think a lot of people make that boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
It was sent in a letter by Thomas Jefferson to the Baptist Church of Danbury, Connecticut. And why was the Church of Danbury, Connecticut writing to him? Because they thought they were being bullied by the Congregationalists of Danbury, Connecticut. So this, you know, this kind of notion. Now, in Canada, again, our head of state is the head of a theist organization. Mm-hmm. We, of course, have, I think the last time I checked, Canada was 62% Roman Catholic. That may have gone down. Of course, the influence of the French in Canada, kind of when the Plains of Abraham and all that went down, when England defeated the French, the English, I believe, guaranteed the French language in Canada and guaranteed the Roman Catholic Church in Canada. So there's a large Catholic, I think it's much larger than in America.
Right.
A much higher Catholic thing. The other thing is we are very ecumenical in Canada in the fact that we are a little bit more accepting of religions, of world religions, as perhaps maybe Americans are. Again, that's a general that's a general statement. Just to be clear, I think you, Jason, would agree with this. As an atheist, I think all religions are equally bad. They're just not bad in the same way.
Right.
But we have to guarantee people what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
As long as government doesn't get involved with either or. So right. The government doesn't get involved with the church, and the church doesn't get involved with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's not really a problem we have in Canada. Again, there are pockets.
Right.
I'll give you a tell me if I'm going on too long.
No.
I've got an example actually in the province that I live in 7 months of the year, is that a certain riding or what you would refer to as a congressional district,
mm-hmm.
Elected, I think he was 19. I call him the Christian zygote. I think he's 23 or 24 now. He's still in his seat, but his district was very, very strongly Dutch Reformed Church.
Hmm.
So they elected him right. Based on what, you know, country club he went to on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So there are pockets of it in Canada.
Right.
But although I believe that Obama was an atheist, mm-hmm. I can't even imagine an atheist being elected by saying they're an atheist to the president. Donald Trump was certainly an atheist.
Oh yeah,
a different kind of atheist.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is Catholic. He's Roman Catholic. No doubt about it.
He's only your second one.
Mm-hmm.
So if a Roman Catholic can only get elected twice in 240 years.
Not even.
There ain't an atheist coming soon. Yeah.
Not even, because the last Roman Catholic to be elected was John F. Kennedy. So
yeah.
So you're not even talking 100 years.
And we both weren't born then, but apparently everybody had a fit because he was Catholic.
Mm-hmm. So real quick breakdown of the United States. 70.6% Christian. However, There are certain denominations of evangelical Protestant that do not believe that Catholics are Christians.
Yeah.
Which means, if that's the case, then Christianity, based on their belief, is the fourth largest religion in the world, not the first. And Islam is the largest religion. The U.S. is 25.4% evangelical Protestant, 20.8% Catholic. I thought Catholicism was bigger. And then,
well, you have to. I think there's one. There's a very important point in that, and this happens in Canada. Is a lot of the smaller religions go right after the Roman Catholic Church, and try, because one of the things that the Catholic Church has become is very faceless. Yep. This is. It's funny that a religion that has a head with all that pageantry and all that kind of stuff, a lot of people don't really. They're cafeteria Catholics, and. I know for a fact that the Jehovah's Witnesses go after Roman Catholics.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean that intellectually. I'm not saying, you know, actually physically.
Right.
Because, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses gives them a smaller community of 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually about 100 to 200 people in a kingdom hall. Mm-hmm. And makes them feel like part of the family to begin with.
Well, yeah, they start off by love bombing. Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then...
So,
go ahead.
I think that Catholicism has basically... For saying that it's the oldest Christian religion, it's showing its age. Let's just put it that way.
In the U.S. also, unaffiliated, also known as now the religious nuns, that's N-O-N-E-S, not, and, you know, we're not nuns. We're not wearing habits or anything. 22.8%.
Which is larger than the people who follow the Jewish faith in America. It's bigger than any.
It is bigger,
any.
It's bigger than Catholicism.
Yeah.
Bigger than mainline Protestant. It's only 3 points shy of evangelical.
And that never gets any question. Now in Canada, getting back to the original question, you would find many, many more nuns, N-O-N-E's. In Canada, I believe, than you would in America, just because, I think this is one reason why evangelical Christianity hates the idea of social justice issues, because it transfers what churches used to do into government hands, and in government hands, people don't ask you. You know, what you believe in, and if you don't believe something that they don't believe, they cut you off.
Right.
You know, now again, I'm generalizing. I realize that there are many churches in the U.S. I think there's 350,000 churches in the U.S.
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I haven't researched that far.
Yeah, I think there's 350,000 churches, and a lot of them do very good work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, them doing very good work has nothing to do with what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, someone who's an atheist can do exactly the same thing.
So let's see. The church that Stephanie belongs to, they do a lot of good. They do outreach and stuff, and they're not. So I know there was, and I don't want to get specific, but there were apparently some people during one of the outreach things for Christmas, they wanted to put Bible tracts in with the gifts, and that got overridden so fast. You know, they just put in a note that, you know, this is from, you know, their congregation, their church, and that was it. No, you know, basically a courtesy card, you know.
Yeah.
No preaching, no proselytizing. And I respect that. And I actually went with her, you know, to do the gift giving, and it's, man, make a grown man cry. Just to let you know.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of churches do very, very good work, but just because that they believe in something that is they believe in something that is not of this world does not make them any better than you and me or any other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, one of the comments that I made to you in the car, I think, when we were going past the signs was, why this is, and that, this is actually true of any religion except for Judaism. It's like, okay, you say that you believe, this belief makes you happy, but these signs tell me that you're not going to be happy unless I believe it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and it's like, that's kind of counterproductive.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's the same in Canada. It's just that we don't talk about it
right
as much. I think sometimes we should.
I wish we'd talk about it less around here.
Yeah, I think it's. I think that may be the. I would, when I say that I would like to talk about it more in Canada, I'd like to talk about it more from an institutional point of view.
Right.
That says, you know, I think atheism across the world, I mean, it's never been at a greater height, but I still think that we have to have some intelligent discussions about this. And I think in your case, in America, you need to do less of it.
Yes.
you need to do less of it. You look at some of the people who are elected officials who, based only on this, I mean, Trump was a perfect example. Trump was quite possibly the most unchristian man I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
But when he cleared off BLM marchers to go and hold the Bible up, all the evangelicals went bonkers. When he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, yeah. When he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, everybody in the evangelical movement went banana pants.
Yeah. I'm like, and
that
I know
was probably
why.
The least that he could have done.
Do you know why?
It's just.
Do you know why they went banana pants when he moved the embassy?
Yeah, I understand the religious connotation of it.
Oh yeah. For the listeners, I want to try to say this as tactfully as possible, but among Trump supporters and, you know, the like, there is not a lot in the way of love for the Jews, we'll just say. You know, there's no love of Judaism in that group. The reason they were so thrilled that the embassy was moved to Jerusalem was because of a belief in evangelical Christianity, because they are biblical literalists. They believe that this will bring about the end times and cause, you know, it'll rein in, you know, the time of Jesus to return, and, you know, the whole earth will be destroyed and all that good stuff, because really your religion is all about, you know, when we finally all die. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the that's the quick
now,
and dirty.
I'm not saying that Canada doesn't do this as well in a certain sense, because we just do it for a different religion, and that is Islam. Mm. Now, I as I said at the beginning, I think all religions are equally wrong. They're just not wrong in the same way.
Right.
But we had an instance here about 10 years ago, where the Minister of Education in Ontario, who became the Premier, who is equivalent to your governors, allowed a public
school. Hold on.
A Muslim.
Can you repeat that?
We had a Premier who was equivalent to your governor. Specifically allow a public school to host an Islamic services,
right?
Which is not fine, because the two should not be intermixing. However, they allowed not only, as traditional Islamic law states, to separate the men from the women in this public building, but also further separate women who were in a certain state, if I can put it that way,
yes,
from everybody else. From everybody else.
I'll quote Stephanie on this one. Walking the moonlit path, we'll just say.
Okay, that's very well done. Why is a public institution allowing that? And why is this happening with public dollars?
Hmm.
Now, I'm sure that the actual congregation paid the school for this time, but that doesn't make any difference. The government supported something that is illegal in Ontario, of basically separating men from women on the basis of nothing except their religious belief.
Right.
And so we have it here too, and there's Christian examples as well. We had a situation in Canada, in Quebec, which is really funny because Quebec has probably the most progressive politics in all of Canada. Is that I'd say 6 years ago they introduced a bill into law that banned public service people from wearing any kind of religious connotation. So they could not wear a crucifix.
Right.
They could not wear a yarmulke. They could not wear a hijab. And again, most progressive government in all of Canada, certainly the most progressive thinking in all of Canada, instituted this law. And I, the atheist, was outraged.
Yeah.
Because that you are introducing the idea of a thought crime into public spaces.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care whether you think Moses got feelings from a burning bush. I don't care. I don't care if you think that the most important person in your religion flew to heaven on a winged horse. I don't care. I just want my license renewed. Okay? And if you're wearing a hijab, a yarmulke, a crucifix, and don't talk to me about it, I'm fine.
Oh, I agree.
You cannot legislate people's thoughts. And this is the atheist talking. So we have our problem, but they're much, much less than yours. And they're much less, with the exception of the Quebec law, strident. This abortion law, or I call it an abortion law. It's really an abortion scheme in Texas to get around Roe v. Wade. Right.
Right.
That wouldn't even reach a whisper in Canada. And remember that we're much more restrictive, not about abortion,
right?
But we're much more restrictive on people's rights in Canada than you guys are in the United States. And to think that you're going to get around Roe v. Wade, by my understanding, by getting this actual citizenry to be deputized to narc on abortion doctors at $10,000 a pop.
Well, I'm making a prediction right now. Based on the Supreme Court questioning during the hearing, it's going down at least 6-3.
I think it's going down 7-2.
I'm on the fence with one of them. So, but I think it's definitely going down 6-3.
Well, I mean, I think Alito and Thomas are
definitely upholding it.
Yeah, because both of them have the intellect of carrot sticks. So I mean, it's not really. I mean, I think Clarence Thomas has asked two questions in his 30 years on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at two or three. So that's already baked into the cake. But anyway, there's just in comparison to U.S. to Canada, that even wouldn't make. Like, I mean, if somebody wrote that down, it would be tossed in the waste paper basket immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
Right.
You a secular nation. This is the dichotomy. You constitutionally a secular nation embrace all this stuff. And we who is it's not a theocracy, it's a constitutional monarchy. But just so everybody knows, the queen doesn't say yay or nay to things.
Right.
She says yes to everything. Mm-hmm. Right. But it does have to go for her approval.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And I should point out that, and I mentioned this to you in the car while we're on this topic of types of government, that we, the countries that we consider to be at the forefront of social justice, Denmark, Sweden, the Netherlands, Norway, but, we look at all of these countries as kind of the beacon of social justice,
mm-hmm.
all constitutional monarchies. Mm-hmm. I say Norway because I'm not sure whether Norway still has a monarch. Didn't the Nazis get rid of that?
I cannot remember.
Is there still a king and queen of Norway?
I could look that
what
up.
What does the Oracle say?
Let us see. Wikipedia, what say you about Norway? It's a country in Northern Europe. It is a monarchy.
Oh, okay, there we go. So Norway.
Monarch is Harald the Fifth.
Okay, Harald, way to go.
H-A-R-A-L-D.
Oh, very good, okay.
And Jonas Gahr Støre is the prime minister. Sorry if I butchered that. Correct me on Twitter.
No, may the fjords be with you. So all of these constitutional monarchies, none of them republics.
No.
Which I just find fascinating. But Canada is that dichotomy. Is we are so much forward as compared to the United States in social justice issues, maybe not to others. And I certainly don't want to make it sound like Canada is a panacea. We do have our issues.
Mm-hmm.
Our reprehensible treatment of Indigenous people, both in the past and in the present. This is a big problem in Canada. So I don't want to make it like a panacea, but it is different. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. Now we should talk about Southern Alberta, our Bible Belt, because culturally they are not Canadians, nor they are not English from English origins. They are not from French origins. They are not from Asian origins or origins. They're from American origins, because people who live in Southern Alberta. Once the Mormons came out west, all of the real Christians, I'm air quoting that,
yes,
decided to leave if places like Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and they moved into Southern Alberta. So you'll find that's where our Bible Belt is.
Mm-hmm.
And it has stayed for 150 years.
Yes. By the way, a little background on me. I was raised Catholic. Catholic in the cafeteria sense. Really, honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really believed. I went through the motions, and just really, you know. I guess it just didn't take, because here I am, non-believer. I'm not a fan of. I'm not a fan of labels. So, I mean, in the strictest sense of the word, I'm an atheist. But I just prefer. I'm one of those religious nuns. You know, I don't have a religion. I don't. It, to me, it doesn't matter. I see it. Honestly, in my life, I see it more as a hobby. I mean, really. But I understand, you know, I understand that there are people who have religion, and, you know, that's great if it works for you. I just prefer, you know, I don't want to know about your religion. You know, live the way your religion tells you to live, but don't try to rope me in. You know, lead by example. Don't beat me over the head with your Bible.
Well, it's funny because when Jehovah's Witness, most people, when Jehovah's Witnesses come to their door, everybody turns on the sprinkler. Mm-hmm. I do not. I engage them, and I basically drive them crazy. Nothing's nasty said either or. It's just that knowledge is a wonderful thing, because I'm a big fan of debates. I'm a big mm-hmm. fan of free speech.
Right.
And I think if it's done in a respectful way, and nobody lets their emotions get too crazy, I think it's practical. And I think it's a societal good. I'm with you. I think the thing that I rebel about is this notion that as an atheist, and I get it in Canada. I mean, I certainly would get it in the United States, but I get it in Canada sometimes too. Is that somehow we are without morals
mm-hmm.
because we don't have a guidebook,
right?
That we follow, and this is the thing that kind of I'm not going to say offends me, because that's ridiculous. But it just makes me kind of go, okay, let's have a discussion about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's absolutely no proof that I always love the quote of Stephen Jiggle.
Mm-hmm.
The good will always do the best they can. Will always do the best they can.
Mm-hmm.
The worst will always do the most wicked they can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need good people to do wicked things, you need religion. I love that quote.
Oh yeah,
because it corollary of saying that the best will do the best they can do and the worst will do the worst they can do has nothing to do with what book you read.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue, and perhaps our friend Dr. Steve would agree, that the more books you read, I think the clearer thought you get.
Oh yeah.
I think the problem is one book, and I don't care what that book. I don't care what book that is. It could be Dianetics. Hmm. It can be the New World. It can be the New World Translation. It could be the King James Version.
Hmm. Yeah, I got a KJV right here in my hand. I cannot read this thing. Gives me a headache.
Yeah. The other thing that we should talk about, the difference between Canada and the U.S. is that you have two very uniquely American religions that are major. One being the Mormon Church,
mm-hmm.
and the other being Scientology.
Oh yes.
And those are both uniquely American.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
that is something that doesn't, I mean, there are Mormons in Canada, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they're very few and far between. And as for Scientologists, I can't even imagine there being more than 100 Scientologists in the area that I live in Canada.
You're down in the heart of them.
Yes, I am. Actually, I live about a 10-minute drive from the Vatican of Scientology, which is interesting. You have no idea how much Scientology controls public discourse around here. It's crazy.
And what's interesting is Scientology, you know, they boast millions of members around the world. According to some, They're lucky if they have 25,000.
Yeah. Yeah. But the, what makes the the Church of Scientology so powerful is they have a boatload of money.
The number of people who identify as Scientologists is just 25,000. Yeah, that's one Scientologist for every 12,000 Americans.
Yeah.
And Mormon, let's see. Let's see, Mormons. 16.5 million members worldwide.
Yeah.
So
actually, one of my favorite, one of my all-time favorite fun facts,
mm-hmm.
About Mormonism. Do you know where the largest per capita concentration of Mormons are in the world?
I'm going to guess this is a trick question, and the answer is not Utah. No. Where is it?
Samoa. Yeah, per capita.
That's
one of my all-time favorite fun facts. Because it proves something that I always argue with people, both religious and non-religious people, about, is that what religion you belong to is not a race.
Mm-hmm. Right.
America's, we think of Mormon as the whitest religion known to mankind, but the largest concentration per capita in the world are made up of Asian people. Stop it.
Well, let's see. You have... Well, there's the LDS Church, which is the Church of Latter-day Saints. That's the Mormon Church. Of course, then we have the splinter groups. We have a lot of cults here that splintered off. Most of them, well, it seems like most of them splinter off from the Mormon Church. Because you had the FLDS, that was, what's his name?
Oh, God, Warren Jeffs.
Warren Jeffs, yes. Right here... In northeastern Ohio, we had a small congregation of RLDS, that is Reform Latter-day Saints. That resulted in Jeffrey Lundgren killing a family and getting put to death for it because he said he was God.
I think America and Japan lead the world in cult creation.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Now upon
Japan's got one really weird one that.
Oh yes. I watched a documentary on those people.
Oh yes. I am honestly afraid to say the name.
Okay. I won't then. I can't remember it.
It's I'll say it's Om Shinrikyo. It's known by something else now. They were the ones responsible for the sarin gas attack on Tokyo subways.
Yeah. The only cult I can think of that was created by a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Was the guy from Montreal who started, you know, when all those people committed suicide in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who? Raelians?
The Raelians. No. No.
That was created by a guy from Quebec. I think that was the name of the group. It was R-A-E-L.
Rael. Holy crap. I thought Rael the Raelians were the ones that, you know, claimed to have the first human clone and all sorts of weird. There's a lot of weird stuff going on there.
Yeah, but didn't they have a group suicide in Switzerland?
I'll have to look that up. If anyone out there happens to know, let me know.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little while to look up, and I'm not in the mood to do that right now.
No.
As so you can tell, this is an off-the-cuff conversation.
Yeah. So this is the major difference between America and Canada. Those signs are present, but nowhere near what it's like in the U.S. And,
oh, yeah.
And we just have our own view.
You're breaking up. You broke up there a second. You have the signs in Canada.
I just think that Canada has but we don't have the same view of religion, right. Whatever the religion that you guys do as well. Mm-hmm. And it's again, it just makes me laugh knowing what your constitution says.
Yeah, we are we're a screwball nation. Anyway, sorry, I'm observing some noise in the background. Not from you. I don't know what it's from, but we'll find out.
Okay.
Anyway, anything else we want to touch on here? I mean,
no,
we could go on for hours. I know that.
Oh, I can pontificate like crazy on this particular subject, but I just want to, you know what I would like to do next time I'm there, Jason?
Yes.
I would like to walk down to that person's house and ask them if it's worked, if putting the sign out
I'm going to ask that you don't, because okay, I actually know him. I used to work with him.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't know I'm podcasting, so... I will tell you this, where I worked with him, on my last day of work, he tossed a Bible tract in front of me at work. I can get into this. I might actually write about this. But I had, the place that I worked, I was a contractor there, and it was pretty much, I was out of place as far as, right. You know, I'm not a, even when I was a quote unquote believer, I was never like, I didn't preach, you know, I didn't even let on that I had any kind of religion unless you asked me, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, you know, and I worked at this place where, I mean, people are walking around with the bright yellow Got Life t-shirts, you know, with the Bible quotes on them and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, boy. And I'm always looking for Bible tracts, by the way. If you happen to run across, you know, any kind of Bible tracts, usually they're little booklets. The most famous, of course, are Jack Chick, Chick Tracts. Those are the little comic books. But there's others that just ask questions or, you know, something like that. You know, if you find any, let me know, and I will give you a place to send them. And I will talk about them. Because I'm fascinated by them, and I don't get enough in this area. And my Jehovah's Witnesses haven't stopped by to leave anything in my door lately, so I don't have my copy of the Watchtower yet, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Always fascinating reading.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe we should point out at this point why we're so fascinated with this topic being atheists. And I think that's a valid question from, you know, I get this once in a while from people who believe. It's like, well, Oliver, if you don't believe, why are you so interested in it? Because in a lot of ways, religion is our first attempt at sociology.
Mm-hmm.
It is our first attempt at psychology. It's our first attempt at trying to tell us how people 2,000 or 3,000 or 500 years ago looked at the world. Mm-hmm. It's our starting point for philosophy.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that it being the first attempt at philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I find it fascinating.
Right. Oh, same here. And here's the thing. I don't hate religious people.
No.
I absolutely don't. What I hate is when people who practice a certain religion try to enact their religion as law and basically try to force me and other people who don't believe like them to, you know, practice what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work here. I'm not going to have this. I don't want to. Yeah. You're not helping is what I'm going to say. You're not helping things. Just because you follow just because you pretend to follow the rules in this book, and I am currently pointing at a Bible, doesn't make those the rules everyone should follow. Because let me tell you, I am reading this book. And there's nothing to follow. First of all, we know, evolutionarily speaking, that we shouldn't kill because, well, that's not good. That weakens the society. And this is old. This is ancient. And honestly, have you ever read Exodus? If you're somebody who believes, have you read Exodus from cover to cover? Or at least from Exodus chapter 20 to chapter 40? The Ten Commandments are the first part of chapter 20. After that is how to treat your slaves, how to beat them and not and not get arrested. And then most of all of seven chapters is the proper care and feeding of your deity and how to worship him properly. It's like how to build the altar and how to build the Ark of the Covenant and how to clothe your priests and how to build the tabernacle. And it's like, why? if this is supposed to be, and let me backtrack a little. This is directed towards people who worship the Bible. They don't worship God. They look at God and the Bible as one. If you're worshiping the Bible, you got to find something in there that's useful, because this book is not useful.
Well, it's like the old adage, Jason, nothing will make you an atheist faster than reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Or any holy book.
Right.
It's when you speak about the Ten Commandments, I mean, just a small little excerpt of why you shouldn't believe this stuff. Is that first of all, the translation of the sixth commandment is not "Thou shalt not kill." It is the correct Hebrew translation is "Thou shalt do no murder."
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit there's a difference there.
Right.
Secondly, the first three are all about God's ego.
The first four.
So first four.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. However, there's no admonition for raping. Mm-hmm. There's no admonition for incest. There's admonition for spousal abuse.
Nope.
So
or child abuse. Because what is it? Honor thy father and thy mother. The rest of that reads essentially, if you don't honor your father or your mother and your mother, you're dead. You know,
yeah.
You can be killed.
So let's just say, to be kind, it's a rather incomplete list.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, we're not picking on Christianity. Remember that this is the source material for three of the five major religions in mm-hmm. the world. So we're not picking on Christians. We're kind of doing an all-over job there. But no, reading the Bible, there's another dichotomy between, you know, just from a general point of view, is that there's the most shocking differentiation to me between the Old and the New Testament is that, you know, in the Old Testament, as brutal and as murderous and all those things that it is, hell is when you go into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
It's when gentle Jesus, meek and mild, shows that there's all this talk now of you burning for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So that in itself is a dichotomy between the old and the new. I always wonder why Christianity ever took the Old Testament along for a ride, because I think it would have served them much better to drop it, the whole thing. So, however,
I'm currently so on my Twitter account at Alien Biblical, I currently follow a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest, two mm-hmm. pastors, and a rabbi. Oh, and a former evangelical. The rabbi I follow is, and I want to get her name right, it's Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg, and she mm-hmm. writes about the Old Testament, about the Torah, from the Jewish perspective, and it is by no means literal.
yeah.
There's meaning behind the meaning, and, you know, you have the Talmud and everything to tell you. So, I mean, they're not taking the Old Testament literally at all.
Yeah.
It's a story, and you know, it's a moral tale when mm-hmm. read in the Jewish tradition.
Right.
So when you hear, and my favorite, one of my favorite exchanges was, Ken Ham. Yes. Everyone's favorite ark.
Oh.
Everyone's favorite ark yes. owner. He basically he found an article from this rabbi regarding Texas's abortion law, and called it nonsense. And then quoted the Bible. He quoted from Exodus and then from Psalms. She got wind of it thanks to me. And
were you stirring up trouble?
Oh yeah. And well, basically she put it this way. Why she asked, why is he quoting from law and from a book of poetry? Because that's all Psalms is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms is not a Psalms has no legal precedent in Judaism, and should not anywhere. Actually, nothing in the Bible should have legal precedent anywhere. But, you know, under rabbinic law, only the Torah has any kind of legal entanglements, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, just saying.
So have we insulted God enough?
I think so.
In this episode,
okay. I think his feelings are well hurt. And that is, by the way, the God of the Bible we speak of, because
yes,
he's very sensitive. Trust me, I'm reading this book cover to cover.
Yes. He's a total Karen. He's the only one who can't say, please let me see your manager, you know.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Oliver, why don't you tell people where they can find you out there so that, you know, they could respond to you personally.
Oh, yay. I welcome that. You can find me on Twitter at Oliver Rockside.
You could find me primarily at Alien CG, but also, as I said, at Alien Biblical. That's where I'd like to keep the religious conversations, just because I don't want to trouble my main followers with my, you know. That's kind of why I split off that account, so that I wouldn't have to bother everyone with my constant posting. You could also follow my blog at bible.aliencg.com if you're a glutton for punishment. I'm reading it, so you don't have to. But honestly, I encourage you, read the Bible. Read it cover to cover. Of course, there are some out there who will say, I'm not reading it the right way. I'm not assuming it as true before I even start reading it.
Shocker.
I know. So,
doesn't
ladies,
tell you doesn't that tell you everything you need to know right off the bat?
Yep. Anyway, folks, have a good week and see you later.
Toodles, kids.